A war-torn country suffering starvation now faces an economic assault. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. For 3 years, Yemen has suffered a civil war which has drawn in two Middle Eastern enemies, Iran and Saudi Arabia. Today, the Saudi-led coalition began an assault on the port city of Hudaydah, currently held by Iranian-backed rebels. The BBC's Yusuf Taha explains the port's significance.
This is the biggest port in Yemen. 70% of humanitarian aid has been coming into Yemen via Hudaydah port. 7 million Yemenis depend on this humanitarian aid. They are suffering malnutrition, shortage of food, supplies, medicines, and therefore this port is extremely crucial. Before this assault on Hudaydah, the United Nations has been calling the situation in Yemen as the worst humanitarian crisis on the planet. So you can imagine now with this assault, there would be no aid, no food, no medicines. Over the past week, many aid agencies from Save the Children to Médecins Sans Frontières, along with the British government and the US government, have been urging and pleading with the Saudi-led coalition to delay this assault on Hudaydah.
But the US and the UK also sell arms to Saudi Arabia.
It's a very intricate and complicated relationship. There is weapons, obviously. There is the fact that Saudi Arabia is the United States' number one ally in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia is a counterweight to the influence of Iran. Moreover, there is massive amount of cooperation in the intelligence arena.
Yusuf Taha, let's do the numbers. After a two-month suspension, shares of China's ZTE plunged 40%. It agreed to a $1.4 billion in U.S. penalties. And a big week for central banks kicks off today with a near-certain rate rise from the Fed. A rate decision is on tap from the ECB tomorrow and the Bank of Japan Friday. But rising rates have helped spark intense volatility in emerging markets. Here's the BBC's Victoria Craig.
Strength in the world's biggest economy has helped boost the value of the dollar, but it's also helped send emerging market currencies like the Turkish lira and the Argentine peso tumbling. The CME Group's Eric Norland explains why.
For this 8-year period of time, which the Fed had rates at or near zero, it was very tempting for currency traders to borrow from the United States at close to 0% interest and to lend into various emerging markets, buying local bonds or other interest rate products. And now that the Fed has raised interest rates back up towards 2%, I think there's a lot of concern that those sorts of trades are not going to pan out.
In the past 7 weeks alone, investors have pulled nearly $8 billion from emerging market bond funds. Adding to volatility is global geopolitical uncertainty and pressured commodity prices.
Agricultural goods are pretty depressed in terms of prices. That's not great news for places like the Ukraine or Russia or Brazil or Argentina, who are the primary exporters of agricultural goods.
But it's not all doom and gloom. Some emerging markets have started to react to tighter policy in the U.S. J.P. Morgan Asset Management's Diana Amoa points to two cases in India and Indonesia.
These are central banks that had been cutting rates as recently as last year. And yet, in the last couple of months, they have been hiking rates as a response. And investors like this. The more policymakers react in a credible manner, the more supportive it's going to be for emerging market assets.
While there are weak emerging market players, Amoa cautioned that volatility doesn't always mean markets there are vulnerable. Sometimes, she says, the risk does pay off. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
The business of creating new digital currencies is heating up in Iceland, where more and more companies are setting up Bitcoin mines. The BBC's Edwin Lane went to find out why.
I'm standing in a large windswept industrial estate here in Iceland. It's about an hour's drive from the capital of Reykjavik. Around me are dozens of old warehouses. This large shed is actually a cryptocurrency mining facility.
This is the Borealis data center, and Arnie Jensen is the head of corporate development.
This used to be a car service facility, but currently it's housing racks and racks of computer equipment. This is not only Bitcoin, this is a variety of different coins that are being mined.
Are you making a lot of money?
We are investing a lot of money, so hopefully those investments are paying out.
Well, if you want to know why there's so many cryptocurrency mining companies flocking to Iceland, This is it. I'm standing in the middle of a huge lava field just outside the capital, and I'm in front of one of Iceland's first ever geothermal power plants. Just below us is huge amounts of super hot geothermal water. And they use that water to create steam, to power turbines, to create huge amounts of cheap energy.
Johan Sigurbergsson is the business development manager for the energy company HS Orca, which runs the geothermal plant. Recently, he's been getting a lot of calls from cryptocurrency miners.
For each day, I get maybe 3 to 4 emails or calls asking about the availability of electricity, how much it will cost, if they can build up, how fast they can build up. In the end of this year, data centers in Iceland will use more electricity than all of the homes in Iceland combined. There's kind of a gold rush. I mean, everybody is rushing in to be the first ones on the market. In the US in the 1900s, when you had the original gold rush in the Wild Wild West, the only people that were guaranteed to make money were the guys selling the shovels. In the cryptocurrency world, I'm the shovel seller.
Johan Sigurbergsson of HS Orca speaking to Edwin Lane. Finally, it's Brexit happy hour. A year before Britain leaves the EU, one pub chain, Wetherspoons, is replacing French champagnes and German beers with local and non-EU drinks to stay competitive. Cheers from London. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.